Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Well, we got all our children are not here today, so the ones teaching nursery and the children's church all get a break today. That doesn't happen very often, so a break today. How's everyone doing? Hey, let me ask you a question here quick. Are you a child of God? Are you a child of God? Well, if you're a child of God, let's give Lord and Savior a clap offering, huh? So one thing I need to mention before we get started into this too deep is that after service today is the special business meeting, so we can go in and we can correct our financials from our business meeting that occurred before. So if you can stick around just quick, won't take maybe 15 minutes by the time we get everybody settled in and started, might be. So stick around for that, and we'll get that done quickly and have it all in the books and everything is correct and way to go. So I took last week off. You probably didn't even notice, did you?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But Pastor TJ came in. Pastor TJ and I have a very special and strong relationship in Brandon Valley, and I hope you guys, I know you guys enjoyed him because he is a great guy. He is a great pastor, and the message that he brought here was one that the Lord had laid upon his heart to bring here. So I know I haven't been able to talk to him. He went on vacation to Cancun. Can you believe that? So he got done here, and the next day he flew out. So it's like I took vacation, he took vacation. Amen, right? So, amen. All right, let's get into the message for this morning because we're ending our series on the 21 days of prayer and fasting. And hopefully you guys have, well, hopefully you've been joining in. If maybe not fasting, but at least praying, of reading your scripture, of just connecting with God in some way, of identifying the things that maybe have, you know, whittled their way into your life and encompassed more time in your life than they should. And perhaps you observe those, you recognize them for what they were, and then you took them out and were able to apply that time to being with their Lord and Savior. And I hope that in that time that your connection was with God was either rekindled, or if it had not been there, that it was something that was just brought into blaze, that we would give our lives to Jesus and we would really truly spend time with our Lord and Savior. We've been talking about these last 3 weeks about scripture out of Matthew 6:33. Remember what that says there? But seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, and all the rest, all these things will be given unto you as well. It's talking about seeking God first and all the things of life that we need and that is a part of our existence that God says, I will give them to you, but seek me first. And all the rest of this, you'll find it at your lap. You'll find it sitting at your feet when you look down and you least expect it, because you gave me glory first and all this stuff will just be given unto you. That's a great promise that is in there. And hopefully we've been spending time in that and seeking his kingdom first and come away with some things that we've really truly learned. I don't know what else. I know there are certain things that I have learned through my 3 weeks and what I've been fasting from. But I hope whatever it is that is giving you time to reconnect or giving you an opportunity for your connection to be made much stronger with Jesus, because that's what it's about, is when we seek his kingdom and that happens. And I hope you that have truly experienced something miraculous in your life, that without this opportunity of praying and fasting, that, well, maybe it would have, well, been a little further down the road that you would have experienced it, or maybe you wouldn't have experienced it at all. But this is my prayer, this is my hope for you, so that your closeness with God is there, and you have an insight to what God wants for each and every one of you, and how much he loves you. There's a lot of things in life that we take for granted, don't we? Don't you take things for granted sometimes? I know I do. It's kind of ashamed to admit that sometimes, that, you know, there's things that, you know, sometimes we become so busy in life that maybe our attention that we pay to our family kind of goes for granted. Or maybe our attention to other details, our attention to spending time with God goes for granted. Life gets busy, doesn't it? Doesn't it get crazy? We live in a crazy world, don't we? And because we live in such a crazy world that sometimes the influence of the world really gets a hold of us and we find ourselves paying attention to those things that, well, in the end, mean nothing. Mean absolutely nothing, right? Instead of paying to those things that we should really treasure the most. It happens to each and every one of us. Distractions, they start to take over our time. They start to whittle their way in. They start to somehow get in there, and the importance of that distraction, you know, you almost give an excuse that Satan is there whispering in our lives to distract us, and he does do that. He does do that. He comes in there, and he's very cunning in that way, and the evil one will come in, and he will whisper inside of us, into our heads, into our hearts, that this is more important than anything else, even our connection, even our time that we would spend with God. Well, that's only part of it. The other part of it is that sometimes, well, a lot of times we do that to ourselves. It's not even somebody else out there that's giving us a prodding thumb or something else or to distract us. We distract ourselves because we like a lot of things that we have in our life, you know. The new day and age, you know, it's like, do you guys remember during the time when we were out without power for a few hours? I say a few hours, but it was an elongated period of time. I thought the kids around in the neighborhood were going to absolutely just pass out because they didn't have their phones. And the internet, they couldn't charge them up. Or we didn't have access to television, right? Or we didn't have access to something else that was, you know, part of what was happening because of the electricity, because of the storm that had occurred. And the distractions, those things that get into our lives and they really make us miss the mark. And it's only when we can stop and we can see clearly what we've missed around us. I remember sleeping when the electricity was off. There were sounds I heard that I don't remember even being sounds. I mean, it was pitch dark. There was no fans going on. There was no television happening. The fan on the, you know, for the air conditioning and all that stuff wouldn't work. And so the house sounds were just entirely different. Do you remember that? And I could hear the wind blowing outside. Now, I can sometimes hear the wind blowing outside, but that's usually when we're having a derecho. So, you know, or we're having such a severe storm that you can't miss the sounds. But the sounds of just the night, the sounds of animals, those things. So it's the same way when we think about God and we put those things in there, we miss seeing clearly those benefits, those miracles, those, you know, provisions that God gives to us, what he really gives to us. And I'm not talking about material needs all the time. I'm talking about spiritual needs that we probably miss more than anything else, is those spiritual things of God that we somehow close off and drown out. And that's part of what this series is about. It's about seeking God's kingdom first. But I find it that some people just have no idea what they're supposed to be seeking. When I say to seek God's kingdom, does a picture come into your mind of what you're actually supposed to be seeking? Does any idea of what God's kingdom is exactly supposed to be in your life? It may be for you, but there's a lot of other people that have no idea the kingdom that they're actually supposed to be seeking. And if you don't know what you're going after, sometimes that can be a benefit, but sometimes it's not, because we get tired really quick because we don't know what to expect, or we're expecting something else, and what we get is not what we are expecting, so we get disappointed and we just stop doing it. So this morning I want to go through and I want to talk about, or at least give you an idea of what you're supposed to be seeking. What God's kingdom, you know, just a peek at it, just a little snippet of what God's kingdom actually is. And God's kingdom comes to us in two different ways. Two different ways, right? You might want to write these down, these two different ways. It comes to us in a spiritual form, and it comes to us in a physical form. I said write those down, but you guys already know that. Comes to us in a spiritual form, it comes to us in a physical form. And what I'd like to start with first is that physical form, because sometimes it's easier for us to see that, to imagine it. We have things to associate it with. We all know about the physical nature of things. We know what we can touch, what we can taste, what we can hear, what we can see, right? You know those things that we can do, what we can smell even. So we can really picture things easier when we're talking about a physical form. And God gives us an idea of what that is and what it may be. And that's where we're going to look into this morning. So if you have your Bibles, if you have your Bible app with you, I want you to turn to the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation. And in there, we're going to see, we're going to get that sneak peek of what God's kingdom is. You've probably read about it. You've probably, if you haven't read about it, you've at least heard about it. But if you're in the book of Revelation, go to the second to last chapter. That's chapter 21. Chapter 21 in the book of Revelation. And we're going to start right at the beginning. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" We're going to stop right there. We get introduced to a new heaven, a new earth, right? This is God's kingdom coming, a new heaven and a new earth that's coming at that time. And in there, we are promised that we will be his people. Right? To me, that gives me much joy to know that I'm going to be one of his people and that he will dwell with us. That means he's going to be among us physically. That we will get to see God physically in this new heaven and new earth, right? And he's going to do something very special at that time. This is one that everybody has a good time with. They like this idea of what's going to happen, what God's going to do at that time. He will wipe away every tear. Did you know that there's tears in heaven? I'm not talking about an Eric Clapton song. I'm talking about actual tears in heaven. That until this point in time of the new earth and the new heaven, there's actually crying in heaven. If you were to read in Revelation and what you're talking about in there, I'm going to let you guys look it up. But I'm going to tell you that this part is in there where the people, the martyrs that went to heaven from the time of tribulation actually mourned, actually cried in heaven. And you'll have to find out what God is talking about when he tells them, you know what, just have patience. Justice delayed is not justice denied. But there's crying in heaven. Until this time. This time when God will come and he will wipe every tear away, that there will be no more death, there will be no more mourning, there will be no more crying, there will be no more pain. Isn't that a glorious idea? I like that thought of that. That this will happen. But there's something else that they allude to in here that is coming, and that is a new city for us to live in. A city for us to live in. I wonder what that's going to be like, this city, this new Jerusalem that they allude to in the scripture here. A holy city coming down out of heaven. Well, lucky for us, the Lord put in there an idea, or he put in there what was actually coming. If you run your finger down to verse 11, we'll start there, and we'll see about this new city that's coming. Where he said, "It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were three gates on the east, three on the north, three on the south, and three on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. What an amazing thing. This new city that shone with the glory of God. We see many times in Scripture about the glory of God, how bright the glory of God is. It's like the sun, right? It's like the glory of God is so bright that you really can't even look at it. You couldn't physically look at it. But at this point in time, we'll be able to look at it. But we want to dive into what this actual city is like, because it's of great size and great splendor, like jewels all around. But I think the size is going to surprise you. Excuse me one second. Sorry about that. We're going to go down to verse 16 where it says, "The city was laid out like a square as long as it was wide. He measured the city with a rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length and as wide and high as it is long." That looks pretty big. Anybody know what a stadia is? Anybody not have any idea of what a stadia is? No? I looked it up. If you're going to look it up, I'm going to go ahead. You can continue. One stadia is approximately 1/10 of a mile. That's one stadia. This city is 12,000 stadia wide, long, and high. 12,000. That comes out to be about 1,400 miles. 1,400 miles. That's like starting from New York and going all the way to the Badlands National Parks in South Dakota. That's how wide it is. It's like going from Austin, Texas, clear up to the northern border of the United States and Canada. That's how long it is. But to figure out how high it is much more difficult to get that understanding in your head. See, our tallest building in the world is called the Burj Khalifa. And it's approximately 1/2 mile tall. Okay? 1/2 mile tall. And this city is 1,400 miles tall in height. Okay? Now, I looked some things up because I had to understand that even more. And the only way I could really picture it and bring it to you is to look at the layers of the Earth's atmosphere. Okay? Our breathable layer of the Earth's atmosphere is 5 miles above the Earth, above the land. You go much more than 5 miles, you got to have something to breathe with, right? Our clouds, our weather, where weather is produced and kind of happens, is 7 to 10 miles above the Earth's crust. Okay? 7 to 10 miles. That's a layer there where that happens. Our ozone layer that you hear so much about, you know, the one that protects us from all the radiation, all that stuff, you know, the climate warming ozone layer, that one is 31 miles from the Earth's landmass. All right? And if we go beyond that, we go to that layer of atmosphere where, you know, the comets that come in that hit the Earth's atmosphere turn into meteorites and burn up or whatever. That one is actually 31 to 50 miles above the Earth's landmass, the Earth's crust. If we go on beyond that, the International Space Station, you guys pretty much know what that is. That orbits the Earth around 250 miles above the Earth's land. That sphere that they're in, that layer of Earth's atmosphere is called the thermosphere, actually goes up to 440 miles above the Earth. And then after that, you have what's called the exosphere, which goes from the 440 out into outer space, wherever, however. So you're looking at, like, from the International Space Station to the top of the city, New Jerusalem, you have to add on 1,200 miles, approximately 1,200 miles above the International Space Station to finally get to the top of New Jerusalem. 1,400 miles cubed. That's a lot of space. And then we wonder, it's like, well, is he going to have room for me? Yeah, he's going to have room for you. There's a lot of rooms here, right? So that gives us an idea physically about God's kingdom. It gives us a visual representation of what he's got in store for us, how vast New Jerusalem actually is, right? How big it is. I mean, only our Creator could produce something, could build something that big. Nobody else can do that. But he doesn't stop there when he's explaining to us what's going to happen in this city. There's something else that's going on. Did you realize that in this city there's going to be no temple and no church? You won't have to come to church on your Sabbath day. You won't have to come into a building because there isn't going to be any. There certainly doesn't need to be any. If you go on to, if you peer down to verse 22, where it says this, verse 22. It says, I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. You don't need a church there. You don't need a church building there because God and Jesus are already there. This entire city, I guess you could look at as being the temple of the church, but it's just a city. There's none there. But he also goes on to say in the following verse, he says, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. You don't need the sun to be able to see and walk around. You don't need the moon to give you light at any point in time, because the glory of God Almighty is the sun, and the Lamb is its lamp. They shine so brightly that you don't have to worry about stubbing your toe in the dark. This is the city that's coming. This is a kingdom which is on the horizon for those that believe in Jesus. This is the majesty that you will get to be in when you give your life to Jesus, you believe in Him, and you surrender to Him, and when you die, this is where you get to go ultimately. This is the kingdom of God in its physical form. Oh, man, I can't believe it. But the kingdom of God, well, it didn't start here in Revelation. It started somewhere else. The kingdom of God actually started way before that. I don't know when this physical part's going to come. Only the Father knows, right? But I do know when it started. And I can show you that. If you still got your Bibles with you, I want you to turn to the book of Mark. Turn to Mark. And we will look in here at where the kingdom of God actually takes existence, to where we can enjoy it, that we can be a part of His kingdom. Book of Mark, first chapter, right at the beginning pretty much. If you're there, I want you to go to verse 15, where this is what Jesus says, and this is where we know that the kingdom of God has started. It says, the time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. The time has come. When Jesus walked the earth, the kingdom of God was available, or was becoming available, for all those who believed in Him. For all of us, right? The kingdom of God has come near. Well, some things had to happen in there. But Jesus is making a, what he's doing here is he's making more, marking a pivotal point in history to where we can look back and we can say with certainty that the kingdom of God was made available to me at this point and this time. That Jesus said that the time has come. That it is now near. And why did he say it was near? Well, because to have the kingdom of God, you had to believe. To have the kingdom of God, you had to give your life to Jesus. And then you had the kingdom of God. If you didn't believe, well, it was still only near. Does that make sense? That we need to believe in Jesus to be having access. It started when he said, repent and believe. Right? Jesus' birth, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension ushered in a new dawn. It ushered in a new time, a new kingdom. It ushered in a time that we would have access to something that we never had access to before. Nobody had access to it. Jesus came in and he provided something. You know, all we got to do is, we need to seek it. Seek his kingdom first and his righteousness. Right? And all the rest will what? Be given unto us. This is amazing. Jesus said, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. Right? But the question comes up, what are we supposed to be seeking? What is this God's kingdom that we're supposed to be seeking? We saw a look at a physically, way off. But what are we supposed to be seeking right now? What am I supposed to be going out here and putting all my effort into and all the excitement and all the energy that I can muster into seeking? What is it? Well, I'm no expert. But this is what I feel. And I can't help but to think that it's something that the Lord has put upon my heart, that when we're seeking his rule, his kingdom here on this earth, we're supposed to be seeking his rule and reign in our life. That we are supposed to put aside everything else, that we're supposed to be letting God be in charge of what God's supposed to be in charge of. Right? How many of us actually let God be in charge of what he wants or what he's supposed to, be in charge of? There's a lot of different songs that we sing about giving up control and letting God in there. There's a song named Control by 10th Avenue North, right? There's a song of Jesus Take the Wheel. Maybe you know that one. Carrie Underwood, right? Jesus Take the Wheel. That's a pretty popular one. There was a song, In Control by Hillsong Worship. There is also, maybe you know this one, Open Hands by, who's that, Laura Story, right? I don't know. We'll look it up later. There's another one, Thy Will by the Scott Family. Or if you're old school, if you're OG, right, how about I Surrender All, right? Do we sing these songs about giving God control, but somehow we just keep on grasping the steering wheel of our life and strangling it. We're afraid to let control those things. Even though we sing about it, even though we know we're supposed to do it, even though that's part about giving God our everything and seeking his kingdom first to give him control of what he's supposed to be control of. We listen to this music, but somehow we don't hear the message. And it's just being human. It's just all of us. We do the same thing. But it's about recognizing that we're doing it and try to do something different about it. About giving God control. But this time of giving God control, this time of seeing God's kingdom really starts as a spiritual one. It's a spiritual journey. It begins in each one of us. It's right here, it's right now. If you would, look around and stuff, you would see it if you want to see it. You would feel it if you want to feel it. You would live it if you wanted to live it. This spiritual journey about, going forward. There's a question that Jesus was asked in the Bible about the Pharisees. I think I put it on there. It's on Luke 17:20, where it says, the Pharisees asked him, when the kingdom of God was coming, right? And Jesus' answer was that, the coming of the kingdom is not something that can be observed. He said it's not, nor will people say that it's here, that it's now, or here it is, or there it is. He said, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. I think that's Luke 17:20 and 21, if I'm calling correctly. That it's here, that it's now, that it's in our midst. That the kingdom of God, you don't even have to look around. You don't even have to ask the question. It's right here, right now. You can live that kingdom of God and what the kingdom, what God has in store for you. You can feel it now if you want to. And what you can feel it, it's actually inside our hearts, right? So what is it? Well, it's about loving God. It's about loving people. loving God, loving people. I seem to remember those as being given to us as, well, commandments or something. You know, maybe you remember better than I do. I don't know. So we're to love God so much that we're to allow Him to reign in our life, that we're to be radically obedient with what God has for us and what He tells us to do. Right? We're to love people so much that sometimes that, well, to love people means it hurts. It hurts really bad. But we're still supposed to love people, right? To take a chance of being hurt. To love others. Of recognizing and knowing what this statement really means. The first will be last and the last will be first. Of being a servant above all. We can be a servant in our physical state and do things for people. But if you're not a servant in your heart, you're missing the mark. You have to have both. Of understanding that. Of, it's about rejoicing when the lost, even our enemies, are found. How many times can you say that you've rejoiced when your enemy came to God? It's about crying out to Jesus and surrendering Him. This is the kingdom of God. What I'm talking about is the kingdom of God here on earth. That's what we need to be seeking. We need to be loving. We need to be sacrificially loving in many ways, right? You know, when I was off and I was taking my time off, I was spending time with my my mother-in-law. I love her to death. That's true. I get along with my mother-in-law very well. So, and we were having a very deep conversation. She likes to watch these court TV shows and these cop shows and everything else. And it's like, I get why, because she was EMS pretty much all of her life. Her family were pretty much all in EMS. That's what they lived. But I can't stand them, but I digress on that. So, but we were watching this show, and we're watching a show, a court TV show about a murderer going through court and stuff and being convicted. And she had very strong opinions on this conviction and the death penalty. And we'll not get into the death penalty thing, but I posed a question to her. I said, if this person here was convicted and sentenced to life in prison, and then came to God, came to know Jesus and surrendered his life, would you be happy for him? Now let me put that to you in a personal nature. If somebody you loved very much, friend, family, whoever, all right, was somehow drastically affected in their life by something, and it was a criminal nature, and this person went to court, went to prison and whatever, if they came to Jesus, would you be happy for them? The answer is you're supposed to. Right? When one lost sheep comes to God, the angels in heaven, what? Rejoice. Will we be rejoicing? Will we rejoice when our enemies come to God, come to know Jesus? Will we go up and welcome them in with open arms to love on them? Like Jesus loved on us. This is the kingdom of God on earth. This is what it's about. About receiving that. This is what it is to seek God's kingdom first. It's about admitting thy will be done. Admitting about that happen. It's not just a saying, but it's a lifestyle, right? We need to live it. It's God's kingdom is about God, not us. Let me say that again. God's kingdom is about God, not us. Right? It's about His reign, not ours. It's about His purpose. About allowing God to do the things that He's supposed to do, and we do the things that we're supposed to do, and knowing the difference between the two, because a lot of times we get it mixed up. I get confused about God. Am I supposed to be doing this? You're supposed to be doing this. You know, one of the benefits about God is you can pray to Him and He will actually tell you. He'll tell you whether it's your job or His. All you got to do is ask and want the answer. This is the kingdom of God. I'm going to invite the music team up because I think I've kind of explained it fairly well. And maybe not so much me, but the Holy Spirit is interpreting what God's supposed to be saying in your life. But I want to conclude like this. If you believe in Jesus Christ, then you believe in the kingdom of God. If you believe in Him, you believe in the kingdom of God. And you have access to it. It's not something that we have to wait way off in the future of some future we have no idea when it's coming to physically get the kingdom of God and to live in it. It's right here. It's right now. It's on earth if you want to live it. It's about loving God. It's about loving people, right? It's about making our lives available to God so He can use us to further His purpose and His kingdom, to bring about fruition of what He wants. It's about people knowing Jesus and knowing that Jesus saved them. It's about realizing that for every drop of blood that Jesus bled was for us. He dropped one blood. There goes murder. He dropped another one. There goes sexual immorality. He dropped another piece. There goes burglary. He dropped those and He took our sins with it. This is a kingdom of God. This is what you're supposed to be seeking. And I hope you are. I hope during this time that you've had such a connection with God that you can see His kingdom in your heart and in your mind, in your eyes, that it's all around you, that it's as bright as the midday sun. Because Jesus wants you to have access to it. Is something that we're supposed to be excited about. And perhaps during this message, perhaps about just seeing what is coming in the future in the book of Revelation gives you insight to what you should be chasing now, because it's already started. It started some 2,000 years ago. And we are a part of it. If you have Jesus in your life, you have the kingdom in your life. It's not just a place for us to go later. It's here and now, right? I can't say that enough. It's here and now. It's here and now. It's here and now. And I want you to chase it. Chase it with every ounce of energy that you have. And if there's something distracting you from chasing that, get rid of it. Time of fasting and prayer hopefully showed you some things that we can get rid of. I know it introduced things to me that I thought I couldn't live without, but I can. It's a great thing to be with Jesus. And I cry and I mourn for those who are not. But I have hope that someday, for those that don't believe in Jesus right now, that they will come to believe in Jesus. And they will see the kingdom of God for themselves. So I'm going to ask you to stand. And we're going to sing. And we're going to worship. And we're going to give glory to God. And we're going to look at His kingdom. And we are going to chase after it. For those of us that can't even run like myself, we're going to learn how to run. And we're going to run after His kingdom. Amen.